let's do this. Let's get started, man. I'm excited about the opportunity today. What's up? Glad everybody's back for another episode of Late Night with Lox. As I told you guys every week, just really excited about this opportunity to connect, whether it's a DMV, whether it's the DMV area people, former players, like you'll see in today's show, former Terps. Again, this is just, again, another opportunity to come together for 30 minutes to just kind of get away from all the things that are happening out in the world. And we really appreciate your time and we appreciate you guys coming in and spending some time. Thank you guys for all the love that you guys continue to show the show. I want to thank the guests from Friday. Obviously, we had a great, great show. My man Quinn Cook of the Los Angeles Lakers. And, of course, one of my favorite all-time Terps, Stephon Diggs, for coming on. We had a great show Saturday. And, again, Steph, as out of the ordinary like he normally is, joined us from the airport, just landed. Appreciate him and Quinn for coming on Late Night with Lox / Friday. If you missed the show, again, don't forget to get on NBC Sports Washington. Our partners, they've been gracious enough to make highlights of the show and put it out on their social media platform. And again, as always, we appreciate the time that Quinn and Steph gave us. Again, like I said, we've got the draft coverage coming up this week. I'll be Thursday night. I'll be on NBC Sports Washington with them as we cover day one of the draft. And, you know, as I said earlier, man, we've got a lot of Terps that are entered in the draft. And I want to wish all of our guys that are entered into the draft this year the best this week as they move through this weekend with the draft. I want to take a second again. Got to do this always to thank all of our frontline workers. And, I mean, there's so many of you guys out there. Whether it's the cashiers at the grocery store, the delivery people, our doctors, our nurses, all the people that, again, are putting themselves in harm's way to allow us to continue to push through this pandemic and these trying times. And, again, all the people on the front line that have just gone above and beyond their call to help us to keep moving forward, and we're excited about it. The group tonight is a group that's really special to me. You know, for me, it's really important that relationships, when we recruit a guy, we say it's not a four-year deal, but a 40-year relationship. And tonight's guests for me are guys that played an integral role in, again, my continued development as a coach. Really good players. You'll have a chance to meet them all. A group we call the Rideouts, which is a takeoff of the wide receivers that I coached in 2017. And it was a special group that did some really special things. And a couple of them are hoping to hear their names called this week on the first day of the draft. And one of them, I happened to be at his draft party and had a chance to be there for him when he heard his name called in the first round. Like our partners at Under Armour always says, we'll get through this together. So I want to thank Under Armour, our partners, with the Late Night with Lox show for getting their support. But you know what? Let's get the thing going. You know, one of the original members of the Rideouts, as we affectionately called him, he was a two-time SEC player, all SEC player. He won a college national championship, was a first-round draft pick of the Atlanta Falcons. And I do have to say, he went, I want to say, 2 to 3 picks after DJ Moore from Maryland. A guy that racked up over 120 receptions during his time at Alabama, 17 touchdowns in his career, a guy that made the NFL all really excited to bring on Calvin Ridley. So let's bring Big Cal on board, and everybody help me welcome Calvin Ridley.
What it is, Lox?
What's going on, man? What
you doing? I appreciate you having me, man.
Where's your mask at? Ain't you supposed to have a mask on or something?
I'm in my front yard. You know, I'm good right here.
I got you, man. Well, I'm excited about having you on, man. And thanks for taking the time. Before we get started, what are you doing, man? What's been your schedule during this quarantine and the pandemic? Your guy is always training, always working out. Tell me how you've handled the pandemic and what's been going on in your life.
Yeah, I've been trying to work out in the house as much as I can. You know, I live with my girl, so she yelled me a lot about coming out. She don't want to get it, so I try to run around the house, run around the neighborhood. You know, I was at some parks at first, then it got closed down. But I've been getting it in at the house pretty much.
You got to be extra careful because, like you said, you live with your girl, and I know you guys got a special treat on the way, right?
Yeah, I got a little girl on the way, June 27th. I'm actually excited. I can't wait for her to come.
Really got to do a great job of, like you said, man, not putting them in harm's way. But, you know, I know, again, for you, this was a guy, just so everybody knows, this is a guy that on Friday nights, if I wanted to know where he was when I was coaching him, all I had to do was look on Instagram. And he normally was in the indoor facility with a ladder, some cones. And I say, Cal, what are you doing at the indoor? And he's like, I don't go out, Lops. I got things to do, man. I got 3 years to be able to have to get this thing in and take care of my family. And
36 months, man. That was the plan when I went to Bama. Get right in there and get out.
And look at what happened, man. One of the things I said this as I introduced you, and one of the things I thought was probably one of my neatest experiences with you as a coach was you know, you invited me down to your draft party, and we're in draft week, as you know. So I can remember vividly a couple years ago where you said, Lox, I need you to come to my draft party in Fort Lauderdale. And you did something that was very, very unique. And it's the first time I ever saw it. You know, most guys that are getting drafted in the first round, they go to New York or they go to wherever the draft is. But you decided to take a whole another route. You had your draft party right there in the park where you played your youth football games, and it was like a old-fashioned block party. I swear it was 1,000 people or more. And you had it catered for anybody and everybody. And I'll never forget you told me, I did this, Lock, because these are the people that helped me get to where I am today, and I wanted them to take advantage of and be a part of this celebration. So talk a little bit about what came to that decision to do that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, where I grew up, I pretty much, you know, learned how to play football around there and went through a lot of stuff with those people. So I wanted them to be a part of, you know, what's up? Sorry, y'all. Something that was, you know, very important in my life. And I wanted them to see, you know, that, you know, all the kids from around there that, you know, if I could make it, y'all could do it. You know, it don't matter if we from here or, you know, wherever we from, that, you know, anybody could do it. And I wanted to show them how, you know, big it was and how important it was to me. So, right. And, you know, to this day, people still talk about it.
Well, that was the first time I ever saw it. I mean, this here again, you had a block party for over 1,000 people, friends, neighborhood, coaches from your youth league. And like you said, you basically gave a vision to some of the younger kids that were coming up through the same program you came up through of what hard work looks like when it pays off. And to hear your name called in the first round, and again, I was excited for you. I was even more excited to be able to be there with you and your family when that great event happened. Tell me a little bit, like, what's the transition been like going to the NFL and playing in Atlanta? Obviously, you got Matt Ryan, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL as your quarterback. You're playing with Julio and a really talented team. What's your transition been like to the NFL?
I think I transitioned pretty well. I think the season is a lot longer for me, so I had to really, you know, invest in my body and start to, you know, learn how to take care of my body. And, like, I got real sore all the time, like, early. Like, and I, you know, got tired a lot, so I had to figure out how to watch Julio and Mo, like, who do they have coming to their house doing this for them or what for them. So I had to do that, and I had to learn how to just be a pro. Early.
Well, I tell you,
I wasn't going to make it all the way through.
One of the things I remember, I don't know if you recall this, but we did play in the SEC championship game. We won it. And you came to my office and you basically said, Lox, my body is done. I am burnt up. We had a long year. We were waiting to find out if we were going to make the playoffs.
You made that little plan for me.
And I put you on the get right plan.
Yeah, you made that plan for me. I still do stuff like that for myself, man.
And what we basically did was we put a schedule together from the time he woke up, eating breakfast. I met with Amy Bragg, our nutritionist. Mm-hmm. Amy and I together put this program together to help your body recover. And to me, I think that's what you're talking about. You know, a lot of guys don't understand that recovery piece is just as important as hard you go. And I know anybody that knows you knows that you practice with just tremendous effort. And
oh, yeah, I'm going 110%, 110.
Yeah, and we spent 2 weeks helping your body recover. And, boy, we benefited greatly from it because you played big in the playoff game against Clemson and then in the national championship game. So the importance, if you had something to tell, you know, you got your two young rideouts coming on after you. What advice would you have for them leading into the draft? If you had to leave one, just a little bit of advice before I let you go.
Oh, man. Condition. Come in ready and, you know, take advantage of the book when they give it to you. Because when I got mines, I felt like it was a lot on me out the gate. And I just felt like I could have took better advantage of, you know, of just getting on it every night. Some nights I got, you know, I was like, man, I ain't studying that tonight. I'm tired of it. So just I could have been a lot better in my book and I could have been in more condition.
Got it, bro.
I could have been in better condition. I could have been stronger. I could have done a lot of stuff.
A guy that stays in great shape. Before I let you go, C-Red, you had a pretty horrific injury that I don't even like to talk about because just even mentioning it kind of makes me.
That's last year, man. This 2020.
Are you 100% healthy now?
I'm 110%, man. 2020, I'm Ridley, man. They going to know.
Love it,
man. They going to know.
Always great to have you. I appreciate your time tonight, man. You know I got the other two guys coming on. We're excited for you. I'm looking forward to see you next year, man. Continue to do big things. Love you, Kyle. Appreciate you, brother.
Love you too, Coach. I appreciate y'all having me, man. I'm going to watch the rest.
All right, big dog. Good talking to you. Calvin Ridley, man, one of my all-time favorite guys. You want to know what makes this guy great? And he was one of the best practice players that I ever had the opportunity of coaching. And I used him as quite an example for the younger receivers that we had come in during his senior year or his last year there at Alabama. So, you know, we'll keep this thing going because, as you can see, I added a few extra guests than we normally do. But with draft week being such a big week, I thought it was a great opportunity to reconnect with some guys that, again, great, great players that, like I said, it's a 40-year relationship. And so I'm so excited for these guys. Next up is a guy that I had a chance to be a part of recruiting to Alabama. I had a chance to watch him as a true freshman come in and have an immediate impact. And this is with, again, a group that already had an established guy in Calvin Ridley, and then also some older players, Robert Foster, receiver for the Buffalo Bills, Cam Sims, another great receiver with the Redskins, a guy that had an impact in the 2018 National Championships game, scoring a touchdown. He tallied over 1,000 yards and 24 touchdowns in his 3 years. I saw a stat when I was doing research where almost 40% of his production were touchdowns. And this is a guy that came in with two other really talented receivers. Again, played behind Calvin early in the year, but still was able to have such a huge, huge impact. Our next guest is no one other than the fastest man in the 2020 NFL Combine, Henry Ruggs III. What's going on with you, Ruggsy?
What's up, Lot, man? What's up?
Man, I can't call it. I'm excited for you. It's draft week. You know, how excited are you that you 2-3 days away from basically changing the lineage of your family and being able to do some great things, man? How excited are you about that?
Oh, man, I'm really excited. No, man, it's something we've been working for. It's something that, you know, that you never saw as a kid, and now that it's here now, it ain't coming no more. It's here. It's just, I mean, it's crazy for real.
Now, are you back in Montgomery? Are you still down in Florida training? Where are you at right now?
Nah, man, I had to get out of Florida, but I had to come back to the crib.
Back in Montgomery, man. I know Mom is happy to have you back. Your mom, your dad, who I had a chance to get to know coaching. Talk a little bit about this, you know, the draft is coming up. Mm-hmm. And for you rookies that are about to have your name called, not having the opportunity or not being afforded the opportunity to have your name called, walk across the stage, hug and shake Roger Goodell's. Tell me a little bit about how you're feeling about the draft and where we are and how it's being held this year and your thoughts on it.
I mean, you know, I'm disappointed, bro. I wanted to be down there. You know, I wanted to be down there, just connect with everybody, just get, you know, be around the atmosphere. And I wanted to put on the suit. You know, we always had that little thing going on. But I mean, it's good just to be here. You know, be around family, and we can gather with family and put them together. So, I ain't tripping.
So, what's the plan for the draft? What are y'all doing? I know y'all crawfish boiling. What are y'all doing down there?
We got a couple things, man. My auntie love to bake, so she gonna bake some stuff. We got a lot of desserts and stuff. We got some people to cater, so we'll have some pizza and wings in there. So we have everything, you know, everything for everybody that come through.
So now, again, hopefully, and again, most people think that you'll be a guy who has his name called on day one. Do you have any preference as to where you want to play, or are you one of those guys that, you know, whoever takes me, I'm going to go do what I need to do?
Yeah, you always, you know I am, but I ain't never got away from Alabama for real until, you know, recruiting started and I started playing for Alabama. So if you ask me, I want to stay close to home, but I mean, it don't matter. You know, wherever I go, I got to play ball. I got to do the same thing I've been doing.
You know, one of the first times I ever saw you, you know, because I was an off the field coach when you were being recruited. And then in January, when I was named the co-coordinator receiver coach, I came out and I watched you, you play a sport that I've seen a tape that you have on the internet that kind of gone viral of you just monster dunks all over the place on people, dunking on 6'10 guys. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about the basketball game and a little bit about your dunk game.
Man, you know, we always come back to them stories. You know, when I was school, they called me Sky High, bro. So that's what I was known for. I mean, my 10th grade year when they moved me up, well, I played varsity all 4 years, but my 10th grade, that was pretty much my role, bro. I came in the game, you know, play defense, get a steal, and get a dunk, get a crowd in the game. So that was me, and that was just my MO. You know, whenever I got on the court, just know I'm coming down the lane reckless, and if somebody got to get it.
Yeah, you know, you were a guy that when, you know, in 2017, your freshman year, I think, what, your first six catches were touchdowns, something like that?
First five
catches were all touchdowns, to the point where, you know, people got disappointed. I think your sixth catch was like a 60-yarder or 50-yarder.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about coming in and having an immediate impact. So you came in, and this is one of the things I wanted to ask you. You came in with Jerry Jeudy and Devontae Smith, and then, you know, we'd already had an established Calvin Ridley. If you had the chance again, tell me what the impact was for you playing with other great receivers in the system like that. Was it a negative? Was it a positive? How did you see it, and what's your thoughts on that?
I mean, the only negative probably would be that I was behind a great receiver, so I couldn't give a play time that I wanted as a freshman. But, I mean, other than that, I mean, no, I love that. You know, I came in with guys that, you know, ready to compete, you know, high level talents, and they can do everything. So, you know, we came in together and we made it happen when we could. It just make you, you know, want to take advantage of every opportunity when you get it.
Yeah, and what I saw is the competition in that you guys all rooted for each other, but what I found is it made it really hard to defend. You know, I can remember we had the red group.
Yeah.
Going into the Florida State game where all four, it was you three, the three freshmen, and then Calvin would be on the field together. And it was a really hard we played Florida State first game of the year. It was considered the game of the century going into it. And you all came in and played a bunch of plays as freshmen. And so many guys nowadays look at it maybe as a negative to go where there's other great receivers. But you don't feel that way, huh?
Nah, bro. I mean, if you're a competitor, you're going to compete. You're going to go in and do what you got to do. I mean, if you got the talent, it's going to show. If you got what it takes, the coaches going to see it regardless of who they're. You know, and competition only gonna make you that much better. If you already, you know, you already got the talent and you don't have nobody pushing you, you ain't gonna get no better.
Right. Well, before I let you go, I know this is something that's always been really important to you. And a lot of people may have not heard your story, but, you know, one of the things you did after every touchdown, you put the three in the air. And talk to the people a little bit about what that meant and why you did it. Because I know the story, but I thought it was a great story, and it talks a lot about the type of person you are.
I mean that's the big thing to my best friend. You know, he passed away in a car accident on the way to support another athlete because we ended up getting put out I'm gonna still say we got cheated because, I mean, that's a person calling that game. But, I mean, you know, he was headed down to Birmingham, and I was supposed to go. He ended up getting sick. So now anybody will tell you, whenever I get sick, I'm not going to lay in the bed. I'm not going to, you know, sit around. That's another reason I don't like to sleep, you know. And that's, I mean, that's just something that weigh on me today. But he was just somebody that always had me with him, you know, always telling me what I could do, telling other people what I could do, even before I even started to play football in high school, telling me that I'm better than half of the team. I was going pretty much, he told me I was going to go to Alabama. He told me, you know, a lot of things, and, you know, all of us just started to come true. And, you know, when he passed away, I mean, it kind of hit me. And it's like, you know, now since he not with me physically, you know, I'm going to still carry him on, you know, mentally and through everything I do.
Right. Rod, who was a great friend of yours, who, you know, every time you scored a touchdown, you put the three in the air.
Yeah.
Rod, and you used him as great motivation. Well, I know he's looking down and really proud and excited, as I am, with draft week coming up, opportunity to hear your name called on day one, just have an opportunity to see you come in as a freshman and see where you are now, leaving early to declare for the draft and on track academically, a guy that was on track academically to graduate. Really proud of you, Henry, man, and I'm excited for you and your family that this opportunity is here for you. And as you know, man, this ain't a four-year relationship but a 40-year deal. And I'll be screaming at the TV excited when I hear your name called, buddy.
I appreciate it a lot. Appreciate you having me on here, man.
No doubt, man. Be safe. Tell your family I say hello.
All right, for sure.
Henry Ruggs, man, another great story of a kid that, again, you know, came in with a big, a really talented group of receivers. And each one of those guys, when it's all said and done, that group will have an opportunity. I think, you know, four of those guys will all have opportunities to be drafted possibly in the first round. And these guys didn't shy away from the competition. They didn't worry about, they all actually bonded together and were really competitive. And it's what made us such a explosive offense, having the guys like that. And again, learning from a guy like Calvin Ridley. We'll keep this thing going on, man. And again, the next guy is a guy that, much like Henry's, gonna have a chance to hear his name called on day one. You know, he was a guy that I know and watched, just followed Calvin Ridley's every move, even before he got there. And I know the relationship between Calvin and Jerry is one that's like big brother, little brother. He's a guy that in 2018, as a sophomore, won the Biletnikoff Award, which is the award that goes to the top receiver in college football. He was an All-American as a sophomore and junior. Two-time first-team All-SEC, won a national championship, an SEC championship, a guy that I had a chance to watch grow and continue. And as you can see, comes in with a lot of energy. We got my man Jerry Jeudy, one Jew. What's going on, Jerry?
Come on, we good.
How things going? Where you at?
I'm at the crib, man. I'm outside. I got my peoples in the crib right now. It's going to be too loud, so I want to be somewhere a little bit quiet.
Gotcha. So you back down in Florida, waiting for the big day, huh?
Yeah, I'm back at the crib with it, Broward County. Yes, sir.
Now, I don't have to ask you, what have you been doing during the pandemic? Because I've actually had to call this guy two or three times and tell him to stop doing 7-on-7 and 1-on-1s against people that he should not be going against, because I don't want to see you get a high ankle, an Achilles.
Work is work.
I know, but let's get the bag first. All right.
Okay. Then. Okay.
Let's get the bag first. So I've had.
I got. Okay. I got 2 days to do that, and then
I know. We need you to chill out with the 1-on-1s and the 7-on-7. One of the most competitive guys I've ever had a chance to coach, and I sit there and I follow him on Instagram, and I see him going 1-on-1s in the rain against people and guys that I'm like, who is this he's even going against? So. Still being a coach and still being a guy that looks after his guys, I had to call him and say, look, man, you need to cut that out. And so let's talk a little bit. I know what you're doing to stay in shape, but let's talk about, and I asked Henry, I had your boy Henry on a little earlier here just a second ago. Talk a little bit about the disappointment of not actually having an opportunity to hear your name called and go across the stage. Or was your plan to kind of do kind of like what we saw Calvin do when he got drafted? What was your plan for the draft?
Oh, I wasn't gonna go to Vegas.
I was gonna do it right at the crib where all my people's at. Everybody come over, let's vibe, we chilling, relaxing, watching things happen.
Right. Yeah. Well, I wasn't surprised to hear that, but you know, obviously with the pandemic going on, and now this would be a great opportunity for you and your family, and you just had a baby girl, right?
Yeah, Journey, Aaliyah Judy.
Okay, just had a baby girl, and what a blessing that is. And now, all in within the last month or two of having a baby girl, now you have an opportunity to change the lineage of your family. And I know how big family is for you, understanding and knowing where you come from. Tell me what it's going to be like when you hear your name called, man, and just what emotions do you think or you feel that you'll have when it becomes a reality come Thursday?
It's going to be crazy. I don't think I'm going to cry because I'm not the type to cry. I don't cry.
Now, you made fun of Calvin and how he cried when his face kind of frowned up. So you sure you don't cry?
I don't cry. I don't know. I'm going to be happy, but I ain't going to cry. I ain't going to be that like that.
Well, I won't be mad if you do. I wouldn't be upset.
I wouldn't be mad either.
I know that your mom will, and I know that your family and, you know, all the people that care about you that will be right there with you guys will be really excited for you, man. And, you know, let's talk a little bit about this. Came up in an article. I know Sports Illustrated did a big-time article on you leading up to the draft, and I didn't know that the article was going to talk about, but let's talk about this contract that that you and I had and where it came from and what was behind this contract. Tell the people a little bit about this contract.
All right, so me and Coach Long had this contract about see, I be getting tired a little bit too fast. So I be getting a little tired. You know why I be getting tired? Because I be going too hard.
You go hard.
Too hard. I be getting a little bit too tired. So we had the little contract that no matter how hard I go, I'm going to fight through to the end of practice. And that was the contract.
It was an effort contract. You know, I worked for a guy that when we watched the tape as a staff, if the receivers were loafing or jogging and didn't go block or didn't go block the safety or took the playoff, as they say, stuff rolls downhill. So I would be in a staff meeting and I would be getting chewed out because my guys, it really was Jerry, would be a little tired, because I will tell you this, he goes hard.
Okay, I'm about to say, hold me that out.
He really struggled to finish with great effort through the course of the game and through the course of practice. So I brought him in one day.
I'm tired. If you come to the end of practice, you see the end of practice, you don't understand. You don't understand. So all that, the way you're making it seem right now, it's not like I just be out there.
No, it don't. But
towards the end of practice, that's what I do.
But we created this contract where I said that you would give me every ounce of energy and effort you had. And if you did that, that you would be rewarded. And the reward is coming on Thursday.
Okay. Wait,
coming
hold on.
Thursday.
Hold on.
The reward is hearing your name called in the first round. And that's the job of a coach, is to take a player where he can't take himself. And I know that Jerry was a prideful guy. He hated when I got on him. He didn't like when I called him out of meetings. So when I would actually bring you in early, even before practice. If it was going to be a hot day, I would text you and tell you to come in. And then I would say, look, I don't want no stuff out of you today, Jerry. It's going to be hot. Get your mind right. Make sure you hydrate. So I anticipated the problem. But I will tell you this. The guy practiced his butt off. He gave great effort and developed himself into the Biletnikoff Award winner and hopefully the first receiver taken off the board this year, whether it's you or Ruggsy. You know, it's like having your kids. I don't care which one does. I'm just going to be really, really excited for both you guys. Talk a little bit before I let you go about playing with guys like Ruggs and Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and Calvin. You know, there's times where I've been in recruiting battles and guys kind of decide, hey, I don't want to come there because you already signed a receiver and you already have this guy. Talk a little bit about the system and how everybody gets to touch the ball.
Stuff like that really, having great receivers around you really make you become a better receiver. Because you just by watching them, seeing what they do, like things that you ain't do, and seeing what they do, you just like kind of take away what they do and add it to your game, make you become a better receiver too. But what was the other question you just asked?
I just said, how did it feel? Like, if you had a chance, did you like playing with other great receivers? Was it something that you, if you had to do it again, would you do it again?
Oh yeah, most def. I'd love to play with them boys again. Them boys made me a lot better receiver. And it really, I was about to say?
About the opportunities to
pass the ball. Yeah, opportunities. I feel like Coach Locke did a good job by giving everybody a certain amount of catches. I feel like you did a good job with that, but I feel like when you got good receivers, well, you better make your opportunities count because you will never know when you're going to get the rock again. So whenever I get the ball, I'm trying to scope because I know I might not touch that bit no more. Either Smitty finna get it, either Waddle finna get it. So when I touch the rock, I'm finna try to make something shake.
Well, I know that that's going to make a lot of NFL teams excited to hear. I saw you, witnessed you do it, whether you did it in practice and games. Really proud of you, Jerry. Excited for you and your family, man, that this opportunity is finally here. And great, good luck, and I appreciate all that you did. You guys helped me get this job because the job y'all did, and you know, only disappointment I have is we didn't finish it in 2018. But you guys gave me great effort, and it's great to have the opportunity to have coached and played a small part in what you guys agreed to have an opportunity to have happen to you this week. So good luck. Tell your moms and everybody I said what's up, man. And I still want my watch, all right?
Hey, man, you owe me a watch. But no, all jokes aside, though, bro, Coach, I met with Coach Locke, bro. Coach Locke was a real one, man. Coach Locke, you real, man. I ain't gonna lie. I don't really talk, you know, coaches be recruiting you, then after you get recruited, you go to the school, they don't be talking to you like that. I'm like, Coach Locke kept it real since day one, man. That's why I met with Coach Locke. That's why I'm doing this now, man.
Well, for real. I appreciate it, and I'm excited for you this week, man. And look forward. I'll call you when I hear your name called, because I'll be screaming at the TV happy for you and Ruggs.
I'm already knowing.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on, and I'll be in touch with you, Jerry. Love you, boy.
All right. Love, Coach.
All right. Again, another great player that's going to have an opportunity to have his name called on Thursday night, first day of the draft. Jerry Jeudy, high energy, high effort guy. I did have to stay on his butt quite a bit. And again, that's the thing. I think the job of a coach is to take players where they can't take themselves. And really excited. You saw three examples of three different types of guys. I mean, Calvin, hard worker, set the tempo for, you know, the template for what it takes to get to that level. And then we brought in three young guys and Devontae Smith and then Ruggs and Jeudy, and they all have the opportunity or will have an opportunity to be really successful. Now, late in the show or late last night, I wound up getting a phone call again from one of my former players who he saw on the timeline that I was going to have the ride outs on and basically said, hey, when are you going to have me on? I was like, well, let's do it tomorrow. You got anything going on? And so I put the poll out to ask if anybody would have a problem. We went over a little bit. To bring on an extra guest. This was supposed to be a 3-for-1 Tuesday, but we're getting a 4-for-1 Tuesday. And so our next guest, again, you heard about the ride outs coming on. He called me and said he'd love to come join me on the show. You know, he was the SEC Freshman of the Year, which let me just tell you something about that. There's only one other freshman to ever be named the SEC Player of the Year, and that was a guy by the name of Herschel Walker. He was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year. He was also was the SEC in College Football National Champion, was part of the 2018 National Championship squad, led us to a lot of victories, a Big 12 champion, and was the Heisman runner-up, a guy that I've got a great, great relationship with that I want to bring on that hopefully has an opportunity to hear his name called on the first day of the draft. Let's bring on Jalen Hurts, man. Jalen. You out there? You know, Jalen is, again, like I said, last night I had gotten a phone call from Jalen. He saw that I had the ride outs on, and he said, look, you done had everybody on but me. So I figured I might as well get all the Alabama guys out the way in one show. Again, this guy was a guy that, you know, was basically Heisman Trophy runner-up this year out of Oklahoma, a guy that had the opportunity to win part of a national championship, came in, and one of the best stories in college football was how in 2019 he came in and won the SEC championship for us coming off the bench, sort of a role reversal. And like I said, was the SEC player of the year as a true freshman, where really only one other person has ever won that award as a true freshman. And so to be in the same breath of a guy like a Herschel Walker just really speaks volumes of the type of player that he was for us at Alabama. And then you had a chance to see him go to Oklahoma and put up just record numbers where, you know, I think he threw for over 3,600 yards. He rushed for over 1,200, accounted for over 50 touchdowns last year, and again was the runner-up for the Heisman Trophy. And so as soon as we can get this connection here, we'll bring on Jalen Hurts. But while we wait for Jalen, let's talk a little bit about, you know, some of the people that we have in the draft for Maryland. And again, we had three players take part in the National Combine this year. We had Antoine Brooks, our safety, had a chance to go to the Combine. We expect him to hopefully be called, have his name called possibly day two. Again, we had Anthony McFarland, who declared for the draft as a sophomore, coming in as a redshirt sophomore, had some nagging injuries during the season, but really, really fought through the injuries this year, and finished up strong with a big game against Michigan State. Declared for the draft, had a chance to go to the Combine where he ran a great time at the Combine. And then we had also an opportunity to have Javon Leak, who also had a chance to go to the Combine. And, you know, Javon Leak was our freshman, or was a our starting running back this year with Anthony's injury, and really took full advantage of those opportunities. So, again, excited about our guys and both, you know, Anthony and Javon. We hope to hear their name called day two, day three. We've got a host of other guys. You know, Sean Christie, a five-year starter for us, who had a chance to, who we hope to hear his name called. Ellis McKinney, Tino Ellis. Again, Tino had his senior year cut short due to injury. So, again, Isaiah Davis, all types of guys. So, look, for us to be able to add Jalen, they're saying we're going to have to either go out and come back in. I hate to do it, but this is kind of how technology works. So I'm going to go out, and hopefully we can keep you guys here to come back in, and then we'll be able to add Jalen. So we'll go out for a quick second. We'll take a commercial break. Man, what's going on, Jay Hurts? How you feeling?
Not much, man. Just out here enjoying this weather in Houston, Texas, staying at home.
Down in Houston, hanging out with the family, huh?
Yes, sir.
So let's talk a little bit about me. Obviously, this is a big week for, I don't know if you had a chance, I had the rideouts on here earlier.
Yeah, I saw them all, man.
Had a chance to have a few of your targets that you made a lot of big plays with during your time. Tell me what you've been doing to keep yourself busy and stay in great shape during the pandemic.
Yeah, Coach, I've really been at home, you know, trying to stay safe first and foremost, dealing with the whole draft process and talking to people, answering calls, doing all of that, and working out at the crib, working out in the garage, going to the field every day.
So with obviously, you know, not being able to be at the draft, what's your plans? I know that, you know, you played for your dad, Avrion, was your high school coach. What's the plan for the Hurts family as you guys watch the draft here this week?
Probably cook some good crawfish. You know, we got to have crawfish. Enjoy the moment.
Crawfish, boy.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
They say y'all make seafood up there, but, you know.
Well, we do blue crabs, the Maryland blue crabs up there. A little different, but still very similar, man. Well, I know this. You got a hat on, so you must didn't get your hair cut, right? I know that. So you gonna be able to get a haircut before the?
I'm gonna get a little something. I may just cut it bald like you.
Yeah, that would be an honor. I would be excited to see that. It would be a big bald head. I do know that. One of the things. tell me how you feeling going into the draft. I mean, I've had a chance because I'm doing research. I'm going to be working the draft on day one. And I've had opportunities to kind of hear and do some research and know that, you know, you have a wide range where there's some people to say that they wouldn't be surprised if you get your name called on day one. Some people are saying you'll be a second round draft pick. Tell me what your thought is on all of this and how you've approached it.
Yeah, Coach, like everything I've done my whole entire career in college, is just control what I can. I know regardless if it's day one, two, three, four, five, whatever it is, I'm going to be ready to go, and I'll be ready to work. I'm a hungry guy going into it.
Well, that doesn't surprise me because it brings me to something that's probably one of the unique stories. So I can remember in 2016, in the background of the story is Jalen and I came in. So he showed up as an early graduate and helped prepare Alabama for, I think, Ohio State, right? Were they playing?
It was Clemson. They put the number four jersey on.
Clemson in the championship in 15 and the game that they won. And I showed up in February. So I kind of came 2 months after you had already been there. And I can remember having a quarterback school meeting where I was kind of conducting a quarterback school meeting with you and about five or six other of the quarterbacks we had in our program. And this is one of the first opportunities I had to kind of engage with you. And I mean, you were a guy that came in, took great notes, was a great student of the game. But you said something to me that just really stood out. And do you remember this? Do you remember that conversation?
What'd I say?
No, I want you to think, do you remember this day?
I think I know what you're talking about.
So here's what you said to me. So after we had started day one of quarterback school and, you know, the other coaches were either recruiting or doing something else. And so I was kind of running this quarterback school meeting where teaching coverages. And so at the end of it, you know, a lot of guys had questions, but there were like five quarterbacks in the room. And Blake Barnett, Cooper Bateman, David Corn, we're all top of the line, elite 11 guys that really were successful, big-time high school quarterbacks, big-time recruits coming out of high school. And when the meeting was over, you kind of hung out behind the meeting a little bit, and you said something to me. I want you to see if you remember. I want to know if you remember exactly what you said.
Yeah, I was I just got on campus. Young dude, and I'm a competitor. I told you I was gonna make them all leave.
His exact words, and this was like February, March, April of my first year there. He walked up after the meeting, and I was like, "You got any questions?" He's like, "I'm gonna make every last one of these guys leave." And I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, "What is that?" And I'm thinking to myself, but the irony of it was that, you know, you had a chance to go in and play as a true freshman. I'll never forget the USC game where you came in and your first play of the game was a fumble.
Yeah, some adversity.
Some adversity. And then you came off the field. I remember saying, hey, welcome to college football. And then you proceeded to have a big, big time game, which basically propelled your Alabama career because you beat a good team in USC and then took full advantage. And I can say, and all those guys, like I said, were great competitors, Cooper, Blake, all those guys, great competitors. But the moral to the story was at the end of the season, by the time your sophomore year rolled around, none of those guys were in the program. And I thought for me, when I heard you say that, it just really stood out to me that, like, here's a true freshman, very confident in his ability. And you weren't cocky, you were always really confident. So that kind of stood out to me. Let's flip the script a little bit because this is something that I think that if anybody were to ask me about you, let's talk a little bit about how you handled adversity when, you know, 2 year starter and your approach and your mindset. Obviously in the 2018 season, you went from being a starter to being a backup. Tell me a little bit about how that made you the quarterback you are today and how you handled it, because I'm gonna just tell you, it was for me as the coach and a guy that was right there in the midst of the decision making between it, just how you handled it. I left there thinking the same way I thought about when I met you the first time, like, this guy's made of the right stuff. Talk a little bit about the adversity and how you dealt with it.
Yeah, Coach, it wasn't easy.
But you know, I told you I'm a competitor and I try and go out there and compete at a high level every day. And given the situation, I always control what I can. Going in there every day, I control my effort, my focus for the day, how I want to get better that day. And here we are now, you know.
No doubt. You had a chance. You finished second for the Heisman Trophy runner-up, which also kind of leads to the other story. I just got finished mentioning this story, the SEC Championship game in 2018.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had this little ritual where you always sat next to me on the bus going to the stadium. And there'd be times where I would be elbowing you because you know who sat in front of us.
Yeah.
And you would always be talking and I'd be elbowing you like Coach Saban is sitting right in front. I sat in the seat behind Coach Saban and you would always sit next to me for the ride to the game. But you said something to me that became almost like, it was like you're prophetic. I mean, you said you were going to make guys quit and they wound up leaving. And then you said something to me going into the SEC Championship game that year that almost was exactly what you said. Talk a little bit about that story.
Just got to speak it into existence. All year I had faith that my opportunity would come one way or another. And I told you, I think we was warming up. We were warming up on the field. And I came up to you and I was like, hey, Coach, be crazy if the same stadium, same team, all that. I come in and win this game.
Right. So we're getting ready to play Georgia in the SEC Championship. And the story, the year before, we put Tua in the game, replaced Jalen at halftime, won a championship. And then we're warming up the next year playing the same team in the same exact stadium. And he says to me at pregame how crazy it would be if my number gets called and I got to come in and win this game. And if you guys remember the SEC Championship game that year, Tua got stepped on and wound up going out. And we were down by 2 touchdowns, and Jalen came in and completed a big third down pass to Irv Smith. I think you went like 4 or 5 on third down. And the thing that really stuck out was I remember getting on the headsets. I was up in the box during the game, and we had just scored, and I knew that we needed to score one more. And I got on the headphones with you, and I said, hey, and I always kept certain plays. Remember, I used to make you write or highlight your favorite plays.
Before every game,
I would say, highlight your favorite plays, Jalen, so that, and I had a list of the plays he highlighted. So I was on the phone, and I said, look, if we get down in the red zone, tell me what you feel really good about. And you said to me, you can give me some of that breeze shit.
That breeze.
You said, you can give me some of that breeze shit. We had a play called Breeze, which was an RPO, Q run, a draw. And so I remember we got it right inside the 18 or 17, and I called Breeze, and that was the winning touchdown to help us win that SEC championship and gave us a chance to go into the playoffs. So, again, here's a guy, man, that I'm going to just tell you, any team that drafts you is going to get a big-time player, a guy that the team-first guy, guy that's very confident in his ability, talented guy. I mean, you don't throw for 3,700 yards, rush for 12 in a season, over 50 touchdowns, and not be a big-time player. I know any NFL team that takes a chance, and we only need one team to take you in the first round, right? All it takes is one.
It only takes one.
And regardless of what round you get drafted in, man, I am so excited for you and your family to see that big smile on your face and how you are able to go and compete and become the person and player you are, man. So I appreciate you coming on tonight.
Appreciate you.
I'm glad I got a chance to get you on, man, and I'm excited.
I got some on the edge, you big locks.
Okay, wait, this is Jalen's interview. What you got?
Nah, man, all serious. I got a lot of respect for you. You know, the things you did for me my junior year and my freshman year, my sophomore year, all 3 years while we were together. You know, while the time we had, hands-on time we had for sure, you helped me a lot, and I really appreciate that. For all the high school guys out there, college guys, whoever it is, I want people to see it from your perspective, a coach's perspective. What you think goes into, what are the important things that go into developing a quarterback and continue to take steps with a quarterback, you know, taking steps every day? What do you think about that?
That's a great, great question. You know, his question, if you didn't hear, was what goes into developing a quarterback, the steps, and You know, to me, I think it first and foremost, it starts with the preparation piece. And I think that's one of my strong points. You know, I spent the first half of my coaching career on defense. And if you can remember, you came up to visit before you went to the Senior Bowl to talk some ball and help you prepare, to help you get prepared for the Senior Bowl and the Combine. And we have had many football conversations. But it starts with a great quarterback understands defenses first. And so when we do the quarterback schools and we teach, Coach Montgomery teaches our quarterbacks as well and does a great job. You know, it's all about teaching the quarterback the structure of what defenses are. Because I think if you understand defenses, it helps you in all of your pre-snap decision-making. It gives you basically a cheat sheet and to where the ball should go based on what you see.
Answer to the test, huh?
The answers to the test. And so, as you know, that's been my first approach is to teach you defensive structure. And then the next thing is to teach you every player in our system that we put in has a starting point and an ending point of eye discipline, where your eyes need to be, how you read the front for the run game, and what runs go, let's run away from four to a side, let's run to the shade, let's run to the three. And then when you get into the passing game, who got the keys to the castle?
Safeties hold the keys to the castle.
Boundary safety has the keys to the castle. So, I mean, to me, those are the little small things, having developed and coached quarterbacks and been a part of helping guys like you develop into the players you are. It starts with me teaching the defensive structure of how defenses work and operate from the quarterback standpoint so that you get the cheat sheet for the answers to the test. The next piece of it, obviously, is the fundamental development piece where your drop has to match the concepts and then be very disciplined with your eyes, man. But a guy like you is easy to coach because you got so much natural God-given ability that God's blessed you with. And it was a pleasure to see you continue to develop, man. And thank you so much for coming on Late Night with Locks. Glad to get you on. This show has continued to be a big show, man, and it's always great to reconnect with former players and my current guys and former Terps. And as I told people, this show isn't necessarily a Maryland show. It is as much as a connection of the players, former and past players that I've had a chance to coach, DMV. I know the Terp fans would have loved to have had you and be a part. I still keep getting asked the question, like, why didn't Jalen come and all that? And you and I both know, man, that I'm very proud of all the decisions you've made and always wish you and your family nothing but the best.
I appreciate you, Coach, man. It's been a journey, Coach. You know, it's only up. It's only up.
Well, no good luck to this.
Thank you.
Good luck Thursday, man, and we'll be in touch. Love you, boy.
Love you too, Coach. Big love.
All right, man. Jalen Hurts. Great love, my man. Jay Hurts, come join us. Again, this was not supposed to be an hour show. I'm glad that we were able to get Jalen on, a guy that I'm really, really excited for all of these guys, Judy, Ruggs, Jalen. Hopefully these guys all have their names called day one. If not, these are guys that really epitomize what college football is all about. I'm excited to have had the opportunity to coach them. And because of them, I've had an opportunity to take over this place that I really am excited about our upcoming season and our players and our program. So, again, thank you so much for your time. Another episode of Late Night with Locks. We'll see you Friday. We'll have another